So the Gemara mentioned a whole bunch of different halachas. And most of these halachas, it seems, Chazal were mishayer. This is just the way it should be. With the exception of two. If somebody sells a field, all the trees in the field are included in the sale, with the exception of the carob tree that's been grafted, or the sycamore tree that was pruned. And the Gemara says, you know, I know that. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, I learned it from a pasuk. The Amakra, it says, Vayokom, stay Ephraim, Asheba Machpelo, Ashelofne Mamre, Hasode, Vamaoraboy, Vechola is Asheba Sode, Ashob Bechol Gabulay Safa. So Avraham Avinu buys the stay Ephraim, Asheba Machpelo. The purpose of it was because he wanted the Ma'ara that was inside, the Ma'ara Samachpelo. But the pasuk clearly says that he didn't only get the field, he didn't only get the Ma'ara, he also got all the trees in the field. With the exception, however, of trees that don't require a gvul around it for people to know who the owner of this tree is. Zoysaymeres, Hamoichers Asada Stam, all the trees are included. Additionally, Zoysaymeres, any tree that's super chashiv that everybody identifies, such as the Chruva Murkov and the Sadana Shikma, those trees are going to be excluded from the sale. So the Gemara just learned a halacha from the sale of Stei Ephraim, specifically from this pasuk, Vayokom Stei Ephraim, Asheb Machpelo. By the way, the Gemara said, Amram Sharshi, another halacha that you learn from here is that if somebody sells a field, the buyer gets the mitzorim. That's a dinda iraisa, mikan le mitzorim menatayra. This is something that's included in the sale menatayra. So I think it's kedai to mention ha'or nefla that's also learned out from this pasuk, that's related to a Gemara that we learned together not so long ago, in the end of Perek Cheskas Abatim. And this Ha'ara, I found that three G'dayli Yoylam were mechavim to, literally verbatim. The Rechaim HaKadosh, the Heilig Chasam Sofer, and HaGoyin HaGadol Ramei Simcha Medvince in the Sefer Meshechach. So this is an Rechaim, a Chasam Sofer, and a Meshechachmo, Kulam Nischavnu Gudavarecha. And that is as follows. If you look in the Psukim, in the beginning of Parshas Chayesara, when Avraham Avinu purchases the Ma'aras HaMachpelo, so the pasuk says as follows. It says, Vayokom Stei Ephraim, this was the pasuk that we had in the daf, Asheba Machpelo, Asher Lefnei Mamre, Hasade Vamaore Asherboy, Vechol Eitz Asher Basade, Asher Bechol Gevuloy Sof. So what does it mean, Vayokom Stei Ephraim? Vayokom literally means, and it stood up. Fields don't stand up. People can stand up, animals, balichaim can stand up. What does it mean, vayokam stay Ephraim? So Rashi says, tkuma hoysaloi sheyotzim yad hedilach yad melech. Every child in cheder knows this Rashi, that what does it mean, vayokam stay Ephraim? It means that the field had a tkuma. It literally was like spiritually uplifted. It went from being in the possession of Ephraim, who was a hedid, who was a rasha, to being in the possession of Avraham Avinu, who was a tzaddik. So vayokam is metaphorically speaking. It didn't literally stand up. It got upgraded. It went from being on the balance sheet of Ephraim to the balance sheet of Avraham Avinu. But if you look at the Rishonim, they all say that the Pshutei Shal Mikra, of course, doesn't mean that. But Vayokam Stei Ephraim in Pshutei Shal Mikra means Vayokam Miloshen Niskayim. The Kinyan was effectuated. So Avraham Avinu is handling together with Ephraim, and finally they agree on a price. Avraham Avinu gives the money to Ephraim, and Dr. Pasik, Vayokam Stei Ephraim Asher Bemachpelo Niskayim HaKinyan. Avraham Avinu acquired the land. Freik Dar Chaim HaKadosh, Freik Chasam Sofer, and Freik Ramei Simcha, that if you look four psukim later, the pasuk says again, Vayokam hasadeh v'hama'or asher boi la'avram l'achuzas kover me'eis b'nei ches. Why does the Torah have to chazer Vayokam hasadeh the second time? Vayokam means niskayim ha'kinyan. So the kinyan happened already. So three psukim later, nochamol, and Vayokam hasadeh v'hama'or asher boi la'avram, it would seem to be repetitious. So the G'dayli Achreinim said as follows. We learned the Gemara together on Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis and Cheskas Abatim. A very, very big chiddush. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Nichsei Oyve Kechavim Harehen Kemidbar. The Nechasim of an Oyve Kechavim are like a Midbar. Kol Amachzik Bohem Zocha Bohem. Any person that makes a Chazaka in the Nechasim of Oyve Kechavim is going to be Zocha. My time, what's the reason? Oyve Kechavim Michi Mati Zuzliyade Yestalikle. As soon as he gets money, he's already out. Yisrael Ekani Adamati Shtar Liyade. Whereas the Yid is not Koino until he has the Shtar. Therefore, they like the midbar. And any person that comes and wants to make a chazak in it is going to acquire. What does this mean? So the way the Rashbam explained it is as follows. Oivet Kechavim, all his kinyanim are dafke bekasa. That's a rule. So any time an Oivet Kechavim buys and sells and transacts, the only kinyan that works is kinyan kasa. When it comes to a Yisrael, there's a whole list, a whole regime of kinyanim. Depending on what he's buying, refer to that particular list. But an Oivet Kechavim called kinyanai is bekasa. Okay. Oivet Kechavim, therefore, that sells a piece of property, as soon as he gets the money, from his standpoint, he's out. Because the mechira happened when he got the money with kinyan kesef. Stating that, a Yisrael that buys from an Oivet Kechavim can't buy bekesef. And although we know karkas niknas bekesef, kesef shtar v'chazaka, but the halacha is b'machan shekoisvin shtar, kesef itself is not koinu. Unless there's kesef in a shtar, or you make a chazaka. But kesef doesn't work b'machan shekoisvin shtar. And the reason is because b'machan shekoisvin shtar, we assume that the buyer is not comfortable with this transaction being consummated unless he has proof of the transaction. It's based on a lack of trust. Anytime a yid buys from an Oivet Kechavim, we assume it's k'machan shekoisvin shtar dami, because he's afraid that the Oivet Kechavim, unless he has a shtar, is going to deny that this ever happened. Therefore, in order for the yid to be koina, you would have to have the shtar. It's for that reason when an Oivet Kechavim sells to a Yisrael, after he receives the money, before the Yisrael either has a shtar or makes a chazaka, the land is considered to be a no man's land. And the reason is because from the standpoint of the Oivet Kechavim, he's out. Because as soon as he gets the kesef, istalikle, it doesn't enter the Rishus of the Yid until he consummates his kinyan. This is a massive Chiddush Alamdus, but this is the Gemara in Cheskes Abatim, Nundal Ramid Beis. So what happens is it's Hefker essentially. And therefore, Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmul, Nichsei Oivet Kechavim, Harehen Kemidbar, Kalamachzik Men Zocha. The Gemara brought other Amiram that paskin the same halacha. Rav Haigoyin in a sefer Mekachu Memker paskin this halacha. The Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchas Schiyah Matana paskin this halacha. And the Shulchan Aruch Chayshu Mishpasim in Kuf Tzadik Dalet also paskin this halacha. So this is a halacha psuka. If somebody buys something karka from an Oivet Kechavim, so the way it works is as follows: is as soon as the guy gets the money, it's Yotzim Rishusai, it becomes Hefker. It doesn't become the Yid unless there's a Kinyan Shtar and there's a Kinyan Chazaka. The fact that gave the money, and even though Nechasim Sheish Ben Machrai is Aniknes Bekesef, and even from the standpoint of the guy, the Kesef makes it Ois his, it doesn't matter. The transaction is not consummated unless you're going to have the additional Kinyan as well. Said the G'dayli Achroinim, when Avram Avinu bought the field that had in it the Ma'ara from Ephraim, it was a Yid, Avram Avinu, buying from a guy. Now, the truth is, whether or not Avram Avinu had a din of Yisrael, didn't have a din of Yisrael, that's the Mishnah Melech's Chakira, in Drush Aleph, in Prashas Drachin, Vahad Dvarim Atikin. But if we go with the Tzad, that Avram Avinu had a Yid, which is a very, very strong Tzad in the Rishonim, that means that this transaction was a transaction of a Yisrael that's buying from an Oivet Kechavim. When Yisrael buys from an Oivet Kechavim, so you need to do two things. Number one, you have to give money, because without money, it's not a Kinyan Mitzad Oivet Kechavim. But in addition to that, it's not enough that you give money, because the money only makes it Hefker. It takes it out of the Rishus of the Akum. But it's not Nichnas L'chal Rishus HaShel Yisrael, unless there's a Shtar, unless there's also a Chazaka. In other words, the kinyan happens in two shlavin. It happens in two stages. The first stage is you give the money, now the akum is out. The second stage is either you write the shtar or you make the chazaka, then you become in. So said the Arachayim HaKadosh and the Hilgich Chsam Soif and Chsam Soif Al-Atayra and Ramei Simcha Meshach Achma. That's what's going on over here. The Pasim says Vayishma Avram Al-Ephroin Vayishkoil Avram Le-Ephroin Asakesef Asher Diber Bozim Dechais Arba Meos Shekel Kesef Oiv Al-Soich. Avram Avinu gave the money. What's the next Pasig? It was Niskayim Akinyan. What was Niskayim? The first half of the transaction. It left the Rishus of Ephraim. As soon as he got the money, now it's out. Now it's Hefker. But Avram Avinu doesn't own it yet. So what does the Pasuk say? Then Avram Avinu went and he buried Sarah. What happened when he buried Sarah? He was Balabus. He was Nal Gadu Uparat. Now you acted like the Bailam. You made a Chazok. You acted like a Chazok. chazaka. Now it enters the rishnus of the yid. Now it was nishlam the kinyan. That's part two. Zok the Torah and sveitim of ayokam asadav amar ashaboy lavram. Now Avram Avinu owns it, and that's part two. So the kinyan happened in two phases. Where do you find such a thing that a kinyan happens in two phases? Every time Yisrael buys karka from an oivik echovim, it's a gemara mefureshes. But the basra daf nun dalad on the base, and that's the vayokam the first time and the vayokam the second time. Just to be moisif, Rashi says that what does it mean vayokum stay Ephraim tkuma hoysaloi sheyotza miyad hedyet liyad melech, that vayokum metaphorically because it got upgraded, it went from being in the rishus of Ephraim into the rishus of Avram Avinu. Yesh loymar that too happened in two phases, meaning the vayokum, the way the Achreinim are explaining it from the halachic perspective, based on the pshutai shel mikra, the vayokum means the sky makinyan, I think worked equally as it relates to the drush, and that's based on Rei that we spoke about once in the name of Rabbi Shuab Bissel Shlita, who said that we find a very, very big chiddush, right? Only a kohen's allowed to eat truma, a Yisrael can't eat truma. Stating that the avodim of a kohen, Evid Kanani, is allowed to eat truma. The wife of a kohen is allowed to eat truma. Even the behemoth of a kohen is allowed to eat truma. Why? Because it says in the Torah, kinyan kaspoy. And if you're kinyan kaspoy of a kohen, that's enough for you to be able to eat truma. And if you think about it, it's a very big chiddush. A Yisrael can eat truma, but kinyan kaspoy of a kohen is allowed to eat truma. So Rabbi Shuab said a very big yisoid. And it's really based on a goyen in his Pirush on Esther. And that is that you find kinyonei shel adam takes on the maila of that person. If you own something, in Pnimius, that you own is actually part and parcel of you. The Goyen says in the context of Haman Arosha, who wanted to wipe out Klal Yisrael, Lahashmid, Laharag, Laabed, right? He wanted to destroy them completely. And the Goyen says that if you think about a person is made up of four components. He says a person has a nefesh, ruach, neshama, and guf. But he says that really nefesh and guf are one. So it's nefesh, ruach, neshama, and mamon. A person's possessions are part and parcel of the person. And he says the reason Haman said ushlolam levois is because he wanted to wipe out Klal Yisrael, and wiping out Klal Yisrael to him, he understood, meant you have to destroy their possessions because they live on some level through their possessions. That's the pnimius of hashta behemten shel tzadikim ein hakadosh baruch hu mevi takol al yodom tzadikim atzmo lekoshkin. Why would the behemah of a tzadik have a shmira? The reason the behemah of a tzadik has a shmira is because the behemah has the milo of the tzadik, and that's why it has a shmira. But the point is, kinyan kaspe of a koyin has milo sakuhuna, and because it has milo sakuhuna, so therefore on some level it has kedushas kuna. If it has kedushas kuna, that's why it's able to eat truma. This in that Rashi says, "Vayokam stay Ephraim tkuma hoysoloi sheyotzam yad hediyelch liad melech." It's not stam like some feel good thing. Tkuma hoysoloi, in the pnimius of the field, it had a real tkuma because it went from being the possession of Ephraim to now being the possession of Avram Avinu. But the way the Archaim Hakadosh and the Hilgich Sam Soifer and Agoyin Agodar Meisim Chavdivins explained it, I think that also happened in Tushlavin, because the first vayokam was when it went from being in the possession of Ephraim to being hefker. From the field's perspective, that's a huge upgrade. Why? Because when it belonged to Ephraim, it has the reyesa, the chesroinos of Ephraim. Now that it's hefker, it actually was upgraded because it doesn't have that chisorin of Ephraim anymore. But the second vayokum was vayokum asad of amora ashaboy le'avrom lachuzas kover. Now that it goes into the possession of Avram Avinu, it got upgraded again because now it went from being hefker to being Avram Avinu. So the vayokum that the achroinim were masbir in the pshutei shel mikra, I think works just as equally in the drush that Rashi brings. But just to end with one last ta'ara. And this is mamish a gewaldige ein beis medrash b'loi chiddush. A few times recently, we spoke about this idea that in the beginning of Parashas Chayesara, Avram Avinu wants to buy stay Ephraim. But who is he negotiating with? Ephraim. But who else? The Bnei Ches. And it's the Archaim HaKadosh's kasha. Why was Avram Avinu negotiating with the Bnei Ches? What role did the Bnei Ches play? Now we can surmise and we can guess, but at the end of the day, there's no clear indication from the psukim what role the Bnei Ches are playing, and why is it that if Avram Avinu wants to buy Ephraim's field, he has to jump through hoops and he has to negotiate with the Bnei Ches. So in the end of Masechtas Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud, when we were learning the sugya of Dina de Bar Metzra, we mentioned what the Arachai Makadosh says, and that is that the Bnei Ches had Dina de Bar Metzra on the stay Ephron. They were neighbors of Ephron, and Avraham Avinu needed them to waive their bar mitzvah rights in order for him to be able to acquire the Maris HaMachpelah, which we said is very gishmak, because what's the source of Dina the bar mitzvah? The Gemara says, Vasisa Hayoshev HaTov B'ini Hashem, and Avraham Avinu, the others were considered Yesharim, and we brought out this idea that even though Avraham Avinu was having a very hard day, dealing with the Bnei Ches, he just came back from the Akedah, bearing his wife Sarah, Bnei Yoinah, his Pirush Anava says, this is the tenth of the Asar Nisyonis, but he still acted and behaved like the ultimate Yashar, the way he handled, Ad Kedei Kach, he was Mekayim Devasisa, Yashar V'atoyv, with the Dina Devar Metzra. But anyway, that's what Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says. We spoke out at the time from the Brisker Rav, that Mar Nagriz said, that the reason Avraham Avinu was handling with the Bnei Ches, is not that he needed anything from the Bnei Ches, but he just wanted to make sure that they weren't going to Chepa, and that they weren't going to get in the way of what he was trying to accomplish. Sometimes you negotiate with people not because you want something from them. And the Rav said, that was the strategy of Avraham Avinu. He wanted to get them on his team, quote unquote. So like this, at the very least, they won't get in the way. When we learned Perek Lo Yachbar, we spoke out from Rav Shmuel Yankiv. Rav Shmuel Yankiv said that maybe the reason he was negotiating is based on a Mishnah Lo Yachbar. That the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to make a Beis HaKfaris too close to a Yishuv, too close to a city. Marchikin Beis HaKfaris, there's a certain distance. And Avraham Avinu was going to bury Sarah. So based on the din of Marchikin Beis HaKfaris, he had to negotiate with the Bnei Ches, so they will waive their rights. Like this, he'll be able to go ahead and he'll be able to bury Sarah there. Abayim Beis Medrash Bloy Chiddush. I found on Shabbos that Chassam Sofer in Teiras Moish in the beginning of Parshas Chayisar says a Dover Nifla. He says, you want to know why Avraham Avinu was handling with the Bnei Ches? He says, I'm going to tell you why. Because Avraham Avinu is about to buy Maris HaMachpelah from Ephron. Avraham Avinu is a Yid and Ephron is a guy. What happens? He's going to give him the money. The minute he gives him the money, the field's going to be Hefker. If the field is going to be Hefker, Kol HaKoydem Zocho. And he was worried that the Bnei Ches were going to make a Chapsim, and they were going to get it before him, and as a result, he was going to lose it. So he went and he negotiated the Bnei Ches, and he says, I'm going to give you money. And you know why he's negotiating with them? He doesn't need anything from them. But he wants them to sign off and waive their right to be Mekayim Rav Yudom HaShmuz Nemro and Baba Basran and Dalit on the base that so to get him to sign off on that, that's why he negotiated with the Bnei Ches. These two Chassam Sofers are not the same Chassam Sofer. The first one is a Chassam Sofer al Torah. This one's in Torah. Smoisha Ayin Sham. But either way, Mamish Dvarim Lefam. You learn this Gemara Bava Basra Nundalad on the base. It's such an obscure Gemara. Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel Nichsei Oyvik Kachavim Areim Kemidbar Kol Amachzik Behem Zochavim. At the time, we didn't have an opportunity to speak our raid, but such an obscure halacha. Turns out this obscure halacha brings the entire beginning of Parshas Chayisara so to life. A story that we've heard so many times. We have it in our Beina, the Maisa with the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. But if you want to understand it with more mature Eugen, the way the G'dayli Achroinim, the Frat in the Beis Medrash of the Chassam Sofer, but the way the G'dayli Achroinim understood it is very much based on this Gemara and Daf Nundalad on the base. And as we like to say, now you know the rest of the story.